did he put that new song there for? Well, to be sung. Supposed to sing. We got Canary Bird, and he forgot how to sing. So we named him Moody. And then we got another one, and that fella sang, and we called him Sankey. So Sankey got Moody jealous, and Moody started singing again. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not Moody. He's put a new song in my mouth. I'm so glad. It makes my mouth feel good. Glory to God. It really does. It feels very good, this wonderful song. It has a wonderful taste. It has a heavenly taste. The Bible says, I will praise thee with joyful lips. Are your lips ever happy? I mean in the Lord. Well, you can make them very happy by singing that new song. That's what God gave you that new song for. And just think how wonderful that is. The birds upon the treetops sing their song. The angels chant their chorus all day long. And only man is vile. Only men and women are vile. They've got poison in their mouth. Especially when they smoke or chew. And when they talk bad. But you and I have life in our mouth. Life. The life of Jesus. Glory to God. Nobody can speak in tongues but Jesus. You can't, but Jesus can. And he's put that new song in your mouth. Oh, glory to God. I know God likes to hear it. He says he's seeking such who worship him in the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Beloved, we ought to sing more than we do. We ought to praise him more than we do. We ought to speak in tongues more than we do. You know, your tongues become stifled if you don't use them in the Holy Spirit. And so when God puts praise into the meeting, why, you ought to use your instrument. You ought to get that volume up. Turn up the volume. Praise the Lord and glory to God. Many shall see and hear, the Bible says, and shall trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh God, I'm so thankful that we can sing to you with your own song, with your own harmony. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
nom voce. Vegai parano, vagai, belezorangio sbogna, lo vai bashandai lambagon don bogolo buragini, Rabbi, if you cannot work up an anointing to praise me with, count the blessings, count over in your memory the many things that I've done for you and the many times I've stood beside you in the hour of trial and have lifted you, and see if you won't find in your heart an inspiration to say, Hallelujah, thank you, Lord.
The Bible talks about five wise virgins who went into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Who are they? Well, they must be here in this meeting, some of them. There must be, Jesus Christ says, then, talking about the very age in which we live, shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, and 5 of them, thank God, took no chance at all. They went in. The door opened into that blazing marriage supper of the Lamb, but not only to a banquet, but to eternal glory. Oh, pulses, the glory that shall be revealed in us. He says, I suffer all things. Don't you weep for me. Don't send me sympathy cards. Don't send me get well cards with little dogs and little cats and little monkeys and all that monkey business. Don't do it. It's your glory. I bear about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus. I die daily. I live no more. Why? He says, in stripes more often than anybody else, in prison, in fatigue, in watch, in fasting. Paul, aren't you stupid? My, you could have been a professor in the University of Jerusalem. You could have had your own Cadillac, or at least your own Ford, and your own James holding your overcoat for you. And you could have had a very comfortable life in here. And Moses, of all men in the world, he was a king. He was destined to rule. He was taught in all the wisdom and all the learning of the Egyptians. And he was mighty in word and deed. If you go to Egypt today, you'll see some of the mighty buildings that he designed. He was mighty. But all the while in his heart, a young man. You can imagine how the girls danced around him and thought, my, what a prize that would be. A king. And he chose rather to suffer affliction. What a choice he made. Affliction with the people of God. Oh, for that affliction. Oh, for that distinction of the children of God. Oh, for that mark of God's favor, to be despised, to be cursed by the world, to be hated by men and women round about us, because we've chosen that narrow way, following the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth. We suffer rather with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. But we don't. We have found out how we can be Pentecostal people and still dip our nose into the lust of the flesh and the waters of Babylon and the sorrows of Sodom, and everything goes along fine. Fine. You can get along fine today. You can even be a deacon in the church. And oh, how many will join up if you give them a job. Make them president of the Athletes Foot League, and you have them. They put a cap on their head and a button. But to choose, make my choice, hardship, self-denial, humility, getting down, suffering, going to Africa or China or somewhere, or into the streets of Brooklyn, or in the factories and in the offices, and stand the rebuke and the hatred of the world, because I have chosen to suffer affliction with the people of God. Beloved, If you choose the straight and narrow path, if you follow Jesus Christ, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll be peculiar. You won't be crazy. You'll be wise.
Ah, but on that day, five of them
were welcomed by the King, the bride of Christ without spot. Unto her was given to be clothed with fine linen, clean and white, which is the righteousness of the saints. Beloved, it's a righteousness you choose because you choose Jesus Christ, because you choose Him now. That's the choice. And the glory that shall be revealed in us. And then he tells us about a servant who comes and he labored. He didn't have many tools and he didn't have many talents. He had only two. But he labored and he said, Master, here. Two more. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. Beloved, everybody praises himself for the faithful man. Who cares? When I was an apprentice in the ministry, another apprentice came to me and said, I used to be there.
I ran away. Why do you take it what you have to take?
And it was strange. Exactly 3.5 years, I was in that school, and then the Holy Ghost says, you're through. The Lord says, you're through. And my superior said, one thing I must say about him, he was faithful. When I asked him to do something, he did. And then the Holy Ghost says the same thing. Well done. I wish God would say that to me now. Faithful unto death. Beloved, the sufferings of this present time are glory. They're glory to a servant that serves a king so great, so majestic, so wonderful, and receive a service from the living and the true God. Does he watch my step? Does he watch my service? Oh Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. Where shall I go from thy spirit? Where shall I flee from thy presence? If I make my bed in hell, behold thou art. If I take the wings of the morning and dwelt in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Oh, what does it all mean? Father, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. So closely does he guard me. So closely does he watch me. But not only that, so perfectly does he offer himself to me, to my thoughts, my feelings, my words, my steps, my acts. Oh, Jesus, surely we walk in the light as he is in the light. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful. Where have you been faithful? We're so thankful for faithful people. Where shall I be faithful? I asked someone some time ago when I was called up late at night. I was called to do something nearby in the neighborhood. And I asked a brother who hasn't been with us now for many years, who lived right in the neighborhood, won't you take care of that errand?
I'm not going to be a sucker. It's too late.
There's a lot of that in the cranium of saints. And it's acted out all the time. All the time. Unless you become a living sacrifice. Unless you realize that he gave himself that he might have you. And when you find out how utterly useless you are either to God or man or to the world or to eternity without the Holy Spirit. Then you will treasure a call to serve the living and the true God in the power of the Holy Ghost. And you'll say like the Apostle Paul, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that in all, at all times, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. But never mind, that day is coming. It's coming fast. It's coming as sure as we are here today, as sure as today we say the 1st of February, 1959. So surely there will come a day on your calendar which will be the day. There is a time we know not when, a place we know not where, that marks the destiny of men to glory or despair. There is a line by us unseen that crosses every path that marks the destiny between God's mercy and His wrath. And He has watched you today. He has watched you this week. What have you done with the talent that God's given you? You say, where's my talent? Your body. A woman near here said, my body belongs to me. She sold it to anybody that wanted to buy it. What do you do with your body? Beloved, this body a living sacrifice, burning with the fire of the Holy Ghost where once I burned with shame. That's the call. Beloved, it's a call so tremendously marvelous. So wonderful. So glorious. Nay, world, I turn away, though, but know that world is occupying half of your being, or more than half. You'll never be rid of it until Jesus Christ makes you wise, until He wakes you up. And why doesn't He? You don't get close enough to Him. You don't give Him time. You don't call on God. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I cried like that. And there was a time when a fellow examined me and he wanted to know about my personal life. I said, nothing has ever happened in my personal life that I wouldn't gladly let my mother and my sister know. But there are things in my heart by birth that God alone was able to cleanse me from. But beloved, what will it be in that day when He says, well done, good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over somebody else's job. No, I've given you a job. That's the wonderful thing. You're not called to go to Africa or China, perhaps, but, beloved, He died for all that they which live should henceforth. It's settled. Thank you, Father. It is settled. I have chosen you, and I have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. And why is it that there are so few true fruit-bearing branches in the vine? Beloved, we play with religion. Religion cost Jesus Christ His blood. Salvation cost Almighty God His only begotten Son. Thank God. And while the world pays no attention to Him, look how the world is wallowing in the mire. We heard about America, but that's been true of every generation. America, like the sow which after her sown a bath, wallows again in the mire. And America's had a bath. America was not born in a saloon or in a gambling hall, but in a prayer meeting. And today they want national lottery. You might as well. The church. One priest, Catholic priest, posted to us that in 1 year he took in $350,000 in bingo games. The Holy Heart of Jesus. Beloved, well done, good and faithful servant. Jesus Christ wants to say that to you and to me on that day. But it depends what I'm doing today with Jesus. Today, this Sunday. Oh God, have mercy upon me. I get so tired sometimes, so frank. I have no business doing that.
I walk in the strength of the Son of God. He'll give me strength for every job he gives me to do. He says you shall bring forth much fruit. And when God sees you bearing fruit, what does he do? He doesn't pat you on the back and say, you're pretty wonderful. I'll make an apostle or a prophet out of you. No, he'll take that pruning knife and cut back that proud flesh. He'll operate on you. It'll hurt so that you might bring forth more fruit. Oh, that day is coming when the nation shall be gathered before the king, and he shall say, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. Glory to God has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world, and up to now I haven't found anybody worthy of entering in, but you're worthy. You've lived like it when you were upon this earth. Somebody is going to go into that marriage supper of the Lamb. Somebody is going to reign with Christ. He says, I'll make him ruler over all my goods. Oh, how rich he is. Beloved, that's what God has for today. He's like a father who has a fine factory. It's been a growing concern. It's been his joy. Oh, it's been growing like everything, and there's so much business now. And he sees his son growing up and learning every part of the business, and he knows someday he's going to retire. He's going to go out to the west and build himself a little nest and let the rest of the world go by. But what joy for a father who has a son that he can trust. Who knows that son is going to carry on that business and it'll still alive. And my heavenly Father has a kingdom. Glory to God. And it's your Father's good pleasure to give you, glory to God. I listened to the testimony this morning of one of our elder sisters, and she was broken in body and weak and feeble, and I thought, oh, how very wonderful. That body is someday going to be sown in weakness, and it's going to be raised in power. A little flickering candle will go out here, and the blazing sun will suddenly shed its rays in the sky of eternity, never to go down again. It is sown a corruptible body, but it is raised in incorruption. As we have borne the image of the earthy, so, brother, sister, shall we bear the image of the heavenly? And we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known of you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we're eyewitnesses of his majesty. And even though we cannot see that like Peter did, yet you and I have seen things that are absolutely out of this world. We have been made to partake of the powers of the world to come. The trouble is, if you don't walk with Jesus, these things will become common to you. But I tell you, every time I've been in meeting here, God has shown me his shining face because I wanted him. Glory to God. But there's another sign. I never knew you. Virgins yet. Lamps yet. Sure, you preached in our streets. Why, sure, we've seen signs and miracles. We shouted hallelujah. Go on. Don't know. Foolish virgin. Beloved, that's the question tonight. To which party do I belong? Oh, you know. But child of God, let me encourage you tonight. There's a wonderful word in the seven epistles to the churches in Revelation. It's the word repent. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Oh, that's a wonderful invitation of Jesus. Come, I'll do it again. Be zealous. Another word. We are sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but glory to God. Be encouraged. We know. Oh, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. How do we know that? Because we are in him, and he is in us, and this is our life while we're upon this earth. Glory to God. May God do something for us. I know he's been working in this season.
And let no one tonight be discouraged if you feel that you've done very ill. Jesus calls you to him. Without me, you can do nothing. Don't you know that's the reason you failed? You didn't take me into account at all. When you take Jesus, you'll find he is altogether yours. If you abide in him, he says, we shall not sin. He that sinneth hath not seen him. You don't know your friend. You don't know the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ and the unsearchable riches of his grace, of which we all have received grace upon grace.